We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And as we are now at Wednesday, you're halfway there. You're almost halfway there. Lunch today, you'll be halfway there. I always like to give somebody something to look forward to. And so my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You are tuned to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. And so we want to thank you for making us part of your day as we talk about the Word of God and its application in our everyday life. We have been talking now for quite a few broadcasts on the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. Other translations are meekness, mildness, humility, things like that. And we have been seeing, as we looked at the various occurrences of this word, that it really, that this gentleness that is being described has a lot of answers of how we approach our everyday life. How do you receive people that come to you? You receive them in the spirit of gentleness, which is strength under control. You know, as I haven't mentioned this, but one of the things that has always bugged me about the way that our modern society approaches young people is that it says, well, you know, they're just young people. They have all of these things that are happening in their life that are outside of their control, and we just really can't expect them to operate with any sort of restraint in their life whatsoever. And we give them a pass, and they say, well, you know, their brains aren't fully wired until they're 24. Let me tell you what my experience as a youth pastor is. You know, now I'm a pastor, but that young people were familiar with that statistic that was being bantered about, and they used that as an excuse for bad behavior. They didn't use that and say, well, you know what, I want to prove them wrong. I want to prove that I can behave the way that God wants me to. They were using it to excuse sinful behavior, and they were saying, well, you know, I'm not fully developed yet. We're not talking about human development here. We are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And what I have found is that the goal of a fruit tree is to produce edible, desirable fruit as soon as possible, not as late as possible. And so I want to receive people in the spirit of gentleness. I believe that God can make that happen. It's how we receive the word. We receive the word with humility. We receive it with gentleness. We receive it with meekness, saying, you know what? I believe that God has something that he wants to teach me. It is how we adorn ourselves. We adorn ourselves with gentleness and humility. It is how we walk worthy of our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is how we work. We do the work of the ministry in the meekness of the wisdom from heaven. We share our faith with gentleness and meekness, not in arrogance, not in manipulation. We share our faith with people knowing that God has shown great restraint on our behalf while he was waiting for us to come to our senses, if you will. And in Galatians chapter 6, it's how we restore one another. And in Titus chapter 3, we talked about it's how we teach. We teach with humility. We teach with meekness because we were once foolish and disobedient and deceived. And so if someone is currently in that condition, we teach them knowing that God can deliver from foolishness. God can deliver from disobedience. God can deliver from deception. We also talked about how to plead with someone with the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. we demonstrate that fruit. Today, we're going to look at the last application of this fruit of the Spirit that is found in the Scripture. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it's going to sound similar in concept, but it's got a much more stern application, and that is, how do you correct someone that is standing in opposition to you? How do you correct someone that is standing in opposition to you? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20 is where we're going to begin reading. But before we get there, we do want to say thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you've got a block project or a concrete project that you are going to need to have done in the next few months, give them a call so that they can come out, take a look at it, tell you how much concrete you're going to need, tell you what strength of concrete you're going to need, and then they will give you an estimate on how much it would cost for you to have them do the job for you. And so 321-536-5804, they will be able, you know, they could tell me what strength I would need, and it wouldn't mean, to quote an Oklahoma expression, it wouldn't mean diddly squat to me. It wouldn't mean anything. They're the experts. And so they can come out, take a look, tell you how much concrete you're going to need and how much it would cost you to have it done. I will tell you this, there is a lot of construction going on in Brevard County right now. And so you don't need to wait until the last minute. One of the things that let me put it this way. It complicates ministry is when people wait till the last minute, until there's an urgency, till there's catastrophe right on the horizon before they address a situation. And I want to encourage you, don't wait till the last minute. And so if the folks at Jits Concrete can be a blessing to you in the future, give them a call, 321-536-5804. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20 says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, meaning dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him." So the word that we translate gentleness, in it appears in this passage in verse number 25, where it says, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. Now, I will tell you this, that most of us do not readily embrace the thought of correcting someone. It is not one of those things that any parent loves to do. Now, there are some personalities that are predisposed to want to correct everything that is out of alignment with them. I want you to understand something, that correction is not getting people corrected who disagree with you. Correction that we're talking about here is speaking into people's lives who are not in alignment with God's word. So Joyce Meyer talks about how frustrating life used to be for her because she spent all of her time trying to get people to do what Joyce wanted them to do. What is being discussed here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is correcting people to get their behavior to line up with what God wants their behavior to reflect. There's a huge difference. You and I, we have to constantly evaluate and make sure that the things that we are approving in our life or disapproving in our life are things that are biblical, not just something that makes us happy. And so as a pastor, I have an authority to speak to situations in the church. And when I do that, I have to filter things first. I have to filter out what is either pleasing or displeasing to Bob's personality, as opposed to what is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. You know, so there are some things that go on that they don't necessarily fit my personality from time to time, but they are meeting a need in the body of Christ. I will tell you that when we have that Women of Worth meeting, I don't schedule that because of what it does for Bob's life. In actuality, that means that there's a night that my wife and daughters and I, we don't get to have the fellowship that we would normally have on that night. It's not a what's in the best interest of Bob. And so as a pastor, that's not my thing. My thing is not what is in Bob's best interest. It is what is in the best interest of, you know, the congregation. And I will just say this, because last Wednesday we got some feedback, and it was kind of encouraging, because my wife talking about how this message that she delivered at the last women's ministry thing, that, you know, she didn't know if it came across with the same sort of anointing that she wanted it to. And so Wednesday night came around, and people started telling her things like, wow, that was such a powerful word, that the very first thing I did was when I got home, I called up another lady and I shared the truth that you just shared that night in women's ministry. And folks, I want to tell you, that's the way to receive the word of God. You know, when we're talking about receiving it in gentleness, it's not receiving it with a calloused heart where you say, well, this is a word that's for somebody else, it's not for me. It's saying, you know what, that word was so valuable for me that I don't want to keep it to myself. I want to pass it along to you. So let's look at 2 Timothy. And it describes here in chapter 2 that there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. And it puts the onus of the responsibility upon the transformation from a vessel of dishonor to a vessel of honor upon us. It says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, being dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honor. That means that there isn't anyone in the house of God that is relegated or assigned to being a permanent vessel of dishonor. That might be something that is a teaching you need to hear today, that corrects some erroneous perceptions about yourself. You know, oh well, I'm just going to be a bad egg all my life. I'm just going to be a vessel of dishonor. Baloney. That's not true. You know, if I can, I want to take you back to an old movie that is Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. And, you know, people are assigned the task of choosing the cup of, no, it wasn't, I'm sorry, that wasn't Raiders of the Lost Ark, it was Search for the Holy Grail, where he had to find the cup, the holy cup, and this person goes in and he says, oh, surely, you know, this grand and illustrious cup is a cup worthy of the King of Kings to drink from. And he was wrong. And Indiana Jones says, that's not the cup of a carpenter. This is the cup of a carpenter. and he takes this wooden cup, and it ends up being the right one. You and I, the scriptures say, we possess this treasure in earthen vessels. The things that make us a vessel of honor is not what we look like on the outside. It's who possesses us that dwells inside of us. That's what makes you a vessel of honor. And we have the privilege of cleansing ourselves from everything that is dishonorable in the sight of God. There is nobody listening to my voice that is living with such a spiritual stronghold that Jesus cannot cleanse you from that. So he says, cleanse yourself. You'll be a vessel of honor. You will be set apart for a holy purpose, and you will be useful for the master. I've got good news for you today. God created you, redeemed you so that you could be useful for his purpose, prepared for every good work. Okay, God can prepare you for every good work. Goes on and it says, you got to flee from youthful lusts, but he not only tells you what to run away from, he tells you what to run away or run in pursuit of. Righteousness. Okay? That you are not just going to accidentally become righteous. You've got to pursue it. You're not going to accidentally develop faith. It's got to be something that you are intentionally in pursuit of. You're not going to accidentally become a person of greater compassion and love. You've got to pursue the development of that. Peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says, you got to avoid these things. You've got to ignore or avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Do you realize how many stupid things we argue about? I read a political article here some time back. And this is going to be something that might help put some things in perspective. The person that wrote this said, all my life I have been very passionate about my political point of view until I was diagnosed with a disease that could kill me. And he said, all of a sudden, things were put into proper perspective. And folks, I don't want to be arguing about the mundane when it is costing me the pursuit of that which is eternal. So don't get caught up in stupid arguments. We don't have time to argue about the trivialities and the nuances and all of that sort of stuff of things that really don't matter. He says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Why do you think the devil does so much? You know, I've talked to you about how other people can sow seeds of strife, and the problem with sowing strife is you're not the only one that reaps that. If you are involved in strife, you're in strife with someone else, you're in strife against the things of God, and there is collateral damage that comes along with it. Instead, he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So the latter part of the broadcast, we want to talk to you today that if you have to correct, you want to do it with gentleness. You want to do it with meekness, strength under control. Don't do it when your emotions are running on boil, where you are boiling over with anger. There's bad things that happen when you are doing that. When you're correcting somebody with that mindset, there's nothing godly that is going to come out of that. So you've got to remember you are correcting with gentleness. The very last of part of the chapter tells us the reason why we are dealing with people in the form of correction with this gentleness, this strength under control. It's because the reality is the people that we're dealing with have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. Okay? There are people who have been kidnapped who have become so enamored with their kidnapper that they did what the kidnapper wanted, even though that wasn't what this person originally desired to be. There are some people that they would tell you they're in love with sin, but in actuality, they have been taken captive as a prisoner of war, and our responsibility is to free them and set them free. So we are correcting those who stand in opposition, but you do that with gentleness. You do that with strength under control. I will also tell you this. Matthew 18 says that when you are dealing with a person that is standing in opposition to you, where you have something against the person or that person has something against you, you go to them in private. You don't make a public display over it. I never, ever enjoy seeing an employer correct an employee publicly. That's, you know, we live in such a day of disclosure that we feel like we're entitled to see everything, know everything. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want to see all of the correction that takes place. You know why? Because I've needed correction, and I didn't want everybody to know when I needed correction. Okay? So just really ask yourself, do you really want everything to be done in a public manner, or would you rather than having God shout your sin from the rooftop, would you rather have him deal with you in a lovingly corrective manner with a still small voice and deal with it in private? As for me, I'm going to choose the still small voice. So Paul advises Timothy. He says, humility correct. Correction is not an ungodly thing. It is a godly thing. It is bringing us into alignment with what God wants for us. If perhaps God will grant them repentance. Repentance is considered by many to be a dirty word in 2018. We just don't want to talk about repentance at the church. Why not? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only solution for that is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I am dealing with the congregation at the conclusion of a service on Sunday morning, I want everybody to know, look, every person in here either has had to repent or needs to repent. It doesn't make you a bad person. Repentance is the, and I describe it this way. Repentance is the initial blessing that God brings into our life, because that repentance is his deliverance from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Repentance isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing. And God wants to give us that attitude of repentance. So we correct people in humility who are opposing what God's will is. Perhaps God will give them a life of repentance. Okay? Second, so that they may know the truth. You correct error. You correct deception so that people will know the truth. The Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, it's not in print, it's just the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, talks about a verse in the Old Testament. By the way, this is the way that I remember this verse in common ordinary vernacular. It says this, that the first person to present their case seems right until you hear the rest of the story. And a lot of people make judgments once they have partial facts. But when you do that, you're not going to make a righteous judgment. You're going to make an emotional judgment. And that may get you into trouble. So you want to make judgments knowing the truth, not knowing the deception. So You correct in humility. You correct with great strength under control so that people will know the truth. And third reason is in verse number 26, that they may come to their senses. The prodigal who was starving to death while he was feeding pigs and wanted to eat their food came to his senses. He came to his right mind and he said, you know what? My father treats his servants better than I'm being treated here. I need to go back and apply for a job. And when he came back to his father, a lot of people miss this on Luke chapter 15, but look, when the father runs and greets his son, he doesn't initially offer him the signet ring. He doesn't initially offer him the robe and the feast and the shoes and all of that. Instead, all of that comes when the son repents. Repentance sets you up for the blessings of God. But a lot of times we want to present the blessings before there's the repentance, and you're going to end up right back at the same place again if that happens. And so we've got to allow God to work in our hearts and minds so that our emotions run godly instead of ungodly, and that our thoughts are godly thoughts instead of ungodly thoughts. And last thing, and that they can escape the snare of the devil, because the devil has taken them captive. So here's several goals that you and I can have for correction. Not one of them is so that somebody will say, Bob was right and I was wrong. That is the wrong mindset. A lot of people approach correction and say, until you admit that I'm right, we're going to continue to have problems. You know what you've just guaranteed is you've guaranteed strife. You've not guaranteed peace. Even if the person says you're right, you've still lost the argument because you've done it with the wrong mindset. You correct with strength under control. You correct in humility, so that God will grant repentance, so that people will know the truth. Third, that they will come to their senses. And fourth, so that they will escape the snare of the devil. I think those are some pretty admirable goals. The truth of the matter is, there are far too few of us who correct the way that 2 Timothy chapter 2 wants us to correct. Father, I just pray right now, God, that those of us who are charged with the responsibility of correcting error, God, that you would grant us this meekness, this strength under control, so that people will repent, know the truth, come to their senses, and be set free for the glory of God. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.